This is the Diabetic Show featuring Mark Philwood and Dobie Maxwell right here on WGTD featuring all things diabetic.
Diabetic Show, Three Awakening. Is this thing on?
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2.
Anyway, hello, and boy, it's been a while, hasn't it, though? This is the Diabetic Show.
Dusting the cobwebs off since 2019. Is that our last show?
Wow. It feels much longer.
Sure does.
I'm sure the listeners, they don't even miss us.
They don't miss us, but we missed you.
And that's why it's all here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the gist of what we do. We discuss diabetes. Like, for instance, hello, my name is Mark Philwood, type 1, since 1987.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2, since 2011.
And basically what we'll do is we discuss what it is as a disease, what it should be, where it's going, where it isn't going, and
what we could all do to not only make a community for ourselves to discuss it, but to make it better.
And there are going to be some sensitive issues that will be touched on, monies that are spent, monies that are given away. A lot of people, today, what are we going to do today? We'll go that way. We're going to be discussing the 100th anniversary, the finding, the discovery of insulin.
Mm-hmm.
100. Wait, hit your head on that microphone. I know it's a low ceiling here in the radio ranch. But the gist of it is, today I wanted to discuss on the price of insulin, especially for somebody who buys it regularly, because as much as I'd like to get away from it, yeah.
Is there a deposit on the bottles like soda bottles used to be?
It's hard to stop. You put it that way. It's, you know.
You got to have it.
It doesn't work. Now Dobie, on the other hand, he's a type 2, so most of his fixing, or at least controlling, is through diet, exercise, mm-hmm. a lot of common sense.
Well, common sense is not always that common. Yeah. And sometimes it's good to have a person or people, and that's what we try to be, as the voice of, hey, you know what? You might want to eat a little better. You might want to exercise. We're not judging because we're in the same boat too. That's the thing. We're both all sides of this, both, you know, type 1 and type 2. And it's good to come together again because I know I hear people on the street, you know, I listened to your show and
no,
I've got an uncle.
No, they didn't. It's nice of them to say that, though.
No, they did.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what helps us is there are no other shows like this anywhere. So, how could we not be?
Can we set the bar a little lower?
A little lower, yeah, that's true. Well, that's the gist of what we do here. And we've done our research, we've done our due diligence, and we found that the one thing that we lack is basic intelligence. So what we'll do is we will surround ourselves with people who carry that intelligent gene.
Absolutely.
Then we can just sit around and ask questions.
And we'll let you decide what you want to do with it.
Actually, you bring a good point, because all of this, and why we're kind of circling the wagons again, kind of going over what we're doing and why we're doing it, is because, well, first off, it's been a while since we've been doing the show. And thanks to reruns, we still exist. So
I think it's like the Fawlty Towers, John Cleese show, if you've ever been familiar with that. I think there are 18 episodes.
Over like 10 years apart between the first and second years.
And they weren't all the same time length. They were, I think, the BBC. And they're classics. They're on DVDs and people. So hopefully we will be semi-classics.
Yes. Just us and John Cleese.
John Cleese and talking about the diabetes.
So, and the whole point is you. Now, since we started the show, we developed a Facebook following, which is very nice. You mm-hmm. can find us on the Facebook. Look for The Diabetic Show. You want to do it the old-fashioned way, the internet, thediabeticshow.com. And that's where we get a lot of the information that we're dealing with here, what we talked about, and what you want to hear about.
Suggestions, questions, input.
The whole point is we are going to be taking other people's intelligence and trying to do something with it.
We'll funnel it out to you.
100 years ago, this very month actually, mm-hmm. It was Fred Banting. He's a small-town doctor in Canada. He had an idea. He thought that if he could surgically tie off the ducts between the pancreas and the digestive system in an animal, what would happen? And apparently they found out that insulin was manufactured in that pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to figure out, how do we get this insulin out of a working pancreas and give it to people who don't have working pancreases. Now, again, that's for my side of the coin, the type 1s who require insulin to live on. Without it, it's the oxygen, we perish. And the interesting part was he did it with a guy with a dog, actually a dental student.
Okay.
And his name was Best. I think it was
Charles Best. Charles Best, the guy that used to be the drummer for the Beatles?
Different Best. This one's Charles.
Okay.
Friends of Fred Banting. And they worked on this, University of Toronto, with dogs, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were able to figure out it was the pancreas that produces the insulin that makes the people who don't have insulin happy, or at least
need. I'm going to call time out here for a second. We joke, and as we do, we don't make fun, but we have fun with a lot of topics.
You have to.
Think of how brilliant this concept is. We laugh about it now. You look back 100 years ago, this guy is a genius to figure this out, to execute it. Anything that's done from scratch, from ground zero, is difficult to do. Hats off, much respect to the Bantings.
Yeah, and Charles Best, the student who helped him out. Mm-hmm. They actually prepared an extract from an atrophied pancreas of a dog. Then he injected that extract into another dog that did have diabetes due to the removal of its pancreas. It survived.
So he made the dog diabetic.
And then undiabetic, or at least temporarily undiabetic with the injection of the insulin. Okay, now, although Banting's experiment was successful, the method of insulin purification, impractical. So basically he tried this method based on alcohol purification. The concept was simple.
Like a still.
Exactly. He would mash up a fresh pig pancreas, readily available from butcher shops.
Who hasn't done that?
At least once. Mixing it into a solution of alcohol and water. And then they slowly increased the percentage of alcohol in the solution. They found that the insulin would stay dissolved into the solution until he reached a critical concentration of alcohol. And then it would suddenly fall out of that solution. There's your purified form of insulin. They referred to it as brown gunk.
I've got plenty of that on the floor of my car.
Yes. So that was the gist of it was. They had to find a better way to purify it. That's where these patents come into play. And this is 1921 again. They were able to obtain a patent for insulin. Mm-hmm. And you know what they did?
I think I do.
I'll have to say it anyway. They literally gave it away. $1. There were two patents.
And it was a Canadian dollar.
Starting at all.
You're talking 64 cents.
At least that year. So the gist of it was, the point was they knew that this was an earth-moving fix. It really was. They wanted to make sure everybody had access to it. So the only way they could at least figure people who could afford it was not to charge for the patent and for the use of the patent.
These people are saints.
They are. And you figure, here we are today, mm-hmm. 100 years later.
Same thing. No charge. Everything's free.
Yeah, almost. Okay. Well, you're a few billion off. They turned it into an $85 billion industry.
When do you think that started?
Probably after the second sale of the patent. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. Right now, three companies make up 80%, 90% of all insulin manufacture. Novartis, there's a few. I don't have everything in front of us, but the point of it
Whammo.
Was. The point of it was.
They make Frisbees.
You've got this insulin product, and there's three people, or three companies, controlling 80% of it. Novartis, for one, keeps coming out with new patents of this insulin because they are constantly trying to make it better. Okay, all for that.
Does it come from the same source?
What do you mean by source?
Pigs?
No. That's where synthetic. The human recombinant – I screwed that word up badly, but you get the idea. It's DNA-based human
mm-hmm. okay.
insulin. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially through the 30s and 40s and 50s, it was basically cow and pig. Those right. were the two insulins. And then once we were able to get the human element in, it took out a lot of the problems that some patients just couldn't use through allergies perhaps. Something that kind of kept them
lying and slop,
or that brown gunk, exactly. Yeah. But the gist is, it worked, and here we are, 100 years later, $85 billion industry. I'm not. Now we talk about the pricing of the insulin too. But I tell you what, Let's hit the break now. Mm-hmm. We'll come back and we'll open up this really bad box.
Can of worms, Pandora's box. That's why we're here. We'll talk about it intelligently and without judgment. This is The Diabetic Show. He's Mark. I'm Dobie. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
We'll be talking about it. And welcome back to The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett, type 1 since in the 80s.
Dobie Maxwell, Mark's sidekick.
I'm Robin. Sidekick.
You're Batman.
You represent the majority of diabetics.
I've been kicking the sides since 2010 when I heard my diagnosis. That's a hard thing to hear. When did you hear yours?
1987. I lied my way into a radio station out west. Because, you know, back then we didn't have the internet.
Right.
So much easier.
Couldn't do any reference checks.
Oh, you had to pay off three people, maybe.
So you were the news director at WGN in Chicago. That's interesting. Why would you want to come to Pocatello, Idaho to read the hog reports at 4 a.m.?
I wanted a new challenge.
Gotcha.
Where do I see myself in 10 years? Yeah. Oh, anyway.
So Mother Nature said, you know what? We're going to give you type 1 diabetes as your punishment.
What happened was, since I really didn't know what I was doing out west, you had to put a lot of hours in because I wanted to do the job. I just didn't know how.
Okay.
So you're there all the time. I'm sure you've experienced that, especially when you're having a self-doubt, like, you know, boy, they made a large mistake in hiring me for this position. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point was I spent all the time at the radio station, day in, day out, slept. I don't know, you have that little sleep couch at your stations?
I have one in my house now.
Yeah, there you go, probably.
Can't afford furniture.
Well, that's where you slept. That's where your life lived, was in whatever radio station you were in.
Sure.
Dobie has done the Trail of Tears through the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
I have been terminated in all four time zones in North America. Very, very difficult to get it in the mountain time zone. I got it.
It gives you that
it's like hitting for the cycle in baseball. It's this feeling of completion.
A texture.
Texture.
Very good. So, yeah, that's how we started doing this. We came back and we just couldn't stay away. So this is The Diabetic Show. We invite you to reach out on the internet, thediabeticshow.com. Facebook, we're getting a lot of response on Facebook, and we appreciate that.
We do.
So we'll be getting a lot of ideas.
Join a group.
Exactly.
Contribute. Ask questions. We're here for you.
I find a lot of diabetics, all they want is somebody else to hear, somebody else to listen, somebody else to understand what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And everybody feels they're alone. All the millions, they all feel alone. Mm-hmm. And you're not. Plenty of people understanding what you're going through. We kind of touched on insulin and the pricing and how it gets there. But there's just so much more to it. Type 2 diabetics, well, they comprise 90-odd% of all diabetics. People who are not diabetic hear that you have a disease and automatically have these preconceived notions. Oh, I had an uncle that had the sugars or whatever happened to be for them. And then they all kind of look at you. The eye's a little cocked off to one side just to making sure, can they turn their back on you without you falling over?
Turning into a zombie.
Something bad.
Flesh-eating zombie.
The biggest problem that hits all diabetics, I don't care if you're type 1, type 2. There's also a type 1.5, by the way, Dobie, which is a whole other show.
If there's money in it, there's going to be 12 types by Christmas.
With individual therapies for
each. On the first day of therapy, my doctor gave to me.
Number one, depression. It doesn't matter what kind of diabetic you are. Depression plays a huge part in your world.
How so?
Well, your life. Your life changes forever. Now, God, I really wanted to talk about how Dobie was diagnosed. That's oh my gosh, you know, that show in itself has got to be a PG-13.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's totally true, and I'm not doing it for comedic effect, even though when people hear it, they start laughing.
They think
laughing.
It is.
Well, you're just making that up. No, sir.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it was Father's Day, of all things, and most comedians don't have a good relationship with their father, and I did not. And I was trying to think positively, and one of my testicles was about three times the size of the other. No joke, it was true. Not both, just one. That gets your attention. Mm. I had no idea what caused it. So I thought, boy, you know what? My self-employed comedian 100% deductible insurance plan does not lead to any – I had to go to the emergency room. thinking, okay, what this is not good.
Right.
So I went in there, and of course, the most attractive woman I have seen in a long time was the clerk, and she said, or the receptionist rather. She said, well, "What seems to be your problem?" And I said, "One of my, your what?
My testicles."
That's not a good word, and not even a first date.
Never.
Swollen up, and so she, you know, she gets on the loudspeaker,
testicles apartment.
So they came and they had like a pit crew. They took me into the room and they looked at me. They did a blood test. It says, "You've got type 2 diabetes." And I said, "Oh, your blood sugar is 500.
Five.
Is that good? No, it's not good. There's lucky. So that one thing led to another. I said, "You're not going anywhere. You're staying there." So one thing led to another. And I had gangrene on my testicles. And I think, whoa, that's, I don't want to use those two words in the same sentence.
Every gentleman. And I'm sure a fair number of not gentlemen who just heard that shifted in their chair.
Yeah, I shifted in my chairs thinking about it, and I had no idea. They said, "Well, we're going to have to do some surgery on you."
Ooh.
And I could have lost all the plumbing. So I'm very grateful that it could have been
so
a lot
far,
worse.
So far, you're okay.
No, it's okay, and they took me into surgery, and they took out what they needed to take out, and I was okay. And they were stitches in a very delicate place. And they said, "Are you a married man, Mr. Maxwell?" I said, "I am not." They said, "Okay, well, you need somebody to, because you can't really reach him, to change and clean the dressing on that for a couple of weeks. Do you have any good friends?"
I was going to say, that's who you know who your friends
are. Who your
really
friends
are.
So I said, "Mark, can you come on over? Because I need
no,
I didn't call you." No. So that was a very, very difficult time, and I ended up having to do it myself.
Well, that's good, because it would have been
a
very difficult conversation.
Else to do that.
Thank you, because there's no.
And they gave me a morphine drip before they did it, and they came in, and after the morphine, I still screamed when they changed it was the most physical pain I could. So when people say, you know, "Oh, diabetes is not that bad," and I asked later, I said, why did this happen? He said, the disease manifests itself in different ways to different people.
Right.
And that's just the way that I said, well, it got my attention on Father's Day. I'll say that.
Wow. See, now mine, I've no thunder. You've stolen all the thunder. Mine
no,
was pretty...
no, I think you've got quite a story yourself, and that's why we're here, because it's frightening.
Well, the diagnosis, it was pretty well down the middle as far as diagnosis go. I immediately came up with the unquenchable thirst. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, and you've done it. You've done the radio 25-hour day shift. And then I just noticed I was always thirsty, always. And at the time, I was doing kind of a healthy thing. At least I thought I was healthy, smoking my Marlboros. Time, fruit juice. Well, fruit juice is healthy.
Oh, all sugar.
I had no idea what fruit juice really is. It's a bunch of evil sugars. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's some benefit in there once you get past all the sugar. And your number was, you said, like 5 something?
They said it was 500. So I don't know if it was, you know, I didn't see the meter.
I came in at 835.
835?
Yeah.
What is the highest on recording? I haven't checked Guinness.
I am sure.
Can you hit 1,000?
I am sure you can.
Can you put a comma in there?
See, again, we are not surrounded by intelligent people.
We're
so this
doctors.
Is going to be not an intelligent show. This will be.
But your blood must have been like Aunt Jemima syrup.
It was a little thick, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was another part they brought up in that emergency room. Because as they're telling me, or I was telling them, unquenchable thirst. I mean, I can have a mouthful of ice and water, and I'm thirsty. That kind of thirst. You can't describe it. And they said, yes, just what you said, thick blood. It does thicken up, and apparently that leads to things like, I don't know, heart attacks and strokes.
Sure,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens when your blood is like jello.
Yeah. So I was in for about a week.
Okay.
And, of course, they just start just pumping you full of the insulin until – you lose a few zeros, and then it comes down into the 80 to 120, which is the sweet spot for people who don't know as far as the blood sugar readings. And I'm not sure what the measurement they use. All I know are the numbers. You have to stay between 80 and 120. You go over the 120. It doesn't kill you right away. It kills you slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I had an endocrinologist refer to it as having sand in your blood. It kind of strips you from the inside out if you're high
That's happy.
In sugar. Well, you know, glass half full. And
you got a glass?
And on the other side of the 80 is the bad side. And especially, I don't – type 2s, you can go hypoglycemic, but for that's generally the domain of the type 1s, because we're constantly balancing, trying to create the effect of a pancreas by injecting ourselves with insulin. Mm-hmm. Now, it's gotten a lot easier in the years when I was first there. Boy, back in the 80s, I think we had it almost looked like a spear, quite literally, a huge needle. Sure. You have to inject this. And the only way I was able to do it was I had to leave town, because I did happen to have somebody who would help me. Like you were saying, you didn't have that friend. I did have a relationship going, and we weren't getting along. So I figured I'd have to inject myself eventually. So I had to leave town, because I have this fear of syringes. To this day, I have a fear of syringes.
I don't think anybody likes them.
And it's just the whole process. So what I ended up doing, this was out west. So I drove a few hundred miles, because it's easy to do out west.
Sure.
A little border town in Nevada. Jackpot. And I went to casino, went to the lovely bathrooms in all casinos. Mm-hmm. Went to that last corner stall, and I practiced on that orange. Yeah, I practiced on an orange and a syringe. So sure. That kind of gives you the feeling of what.
I practiced on a Vagrant.
So I'm in that stall, mm-hmm. and I've got the, you know, patting the thigh, you know, getting that all ready for the spearing. Mm-hmm. No. See, that's the thing. No veins.
Right.
Ever. You want it to inject into fat.
Flesh.
And I have so much, mm-hmm. so it made it easier. And I'm in that booth, I don't know, stall.
Stall.
And I've got 1, 2, 1.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't get to 3.
Sure.
But you know what got me to 3? Mm. The guy in the stall next to me.
Okay.
I totally forgot there was a world around me at the time. But so he got me to 3. He's like, just relax and do it. And you know, when a guy, some stranger in the stall next to you tells you to do that, well.
In Jackpot, Nevada.
You got to do it.
So you did it.
Yeah, and haven't looked back. Of course, now I'm using pump, which is a whole other thing, which it does help my sugars long range. Because being human, that's the worst part about being a diabetic. We're human, and sometimes you can actually forget to inject yourself when you have to do it 3 or 4 times a day.
Sure.
Because I'm using 2 different kinds, and with the insulin usage, you got to balance your exercise, your attitude, especially the mental. Mental is huge, and that's what we kind of touched on. Depression's the number one bad part of diabetes in general. People feel alone, they feel isolated, and you're not. I mean, think about it. Just this last year, 1.5 million people freshly, ouch, I keep hitting things, I'm sorry, freshly diagnosed as being a diabetic. That's 1 every 19 seconds.
That's like a major city in America.
Every.
Or at least a medium city.
Or nowadays, yeah. So you have plenty of people to talk to about
it. And we're 2 of them.
Exactly.
You want to be the conduit.
And if it's not us, and understood if it's not us, you have the ADA, the American Diabetic Association. There's a lot. If you were just to Google anything with diabetic, you will find a lot of help, a lot of support, a lot of government agencies still. The price of the insulin, again, it kind of depends on who you're talking to with that. We were talking about the first part of the show, the discovery of insulin, $1 patents, so everybody could get it. It's not the way it is nowadays. The prices have gone up. Oh, my God. I remember 1990, I was out of insulin and I had to buy some. It was $19 for a vial, and a vial would last me weeks. And that same vial today is about $500.
Wow.
Hasn't really changed much,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, $500. So that's going to be a whole nother story. We've got some people we can talk to. There's actually people who are inventing insulin. They call themselves DIYs, biohackers.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, because insulin is actually a hormone. That's why when you are diabetic, you see an endocrinologist, same person that can help pregnant women, which go temporarily diabetic for a good number of women during their pregnancies. But it's all hormone-based. So it's like whenever I see my endo, half the people in that waiting room, pregnant women. The other half are guys like me hoping that the news is going to be good when he gets in that door. So, we only have a few minutes left here, Dobie, because I have this tendency to ramble. But we'll keep it at the one break. we'll hit the wrap up now because we've completely plumb fresh run out of time. What would you like to get out of the show? I mean, to do this.
I would like to get a community going that is far-reaching and diverse of types of diabetes, length, like you've been doing it for a long time. So if somebody is new to it, they can go to somebody for advice, support, events together. And sometimes I think just walking through it as a group, you know, knowing you have some friends in your corner, that's what I hope we establish here. And something that we can laugh a little bit. You know, I am a comedian by nature. Well, you can't joke about certain things. Well, in certain situations, a laugh is exactly what you need.
Or all you'll have.
Yeah.
So,
for example, as I remember being in the getting my testicles carved up, and I was in.
We've got to find a way to beep that word out in post production. We'll work on it.
Well, that's what it was.
I know, but still.
So I'm in bed, laying there, with my hood up. You know, the gown is open, and a gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous nurse is doing what she's doing.
Why is it always the way?
I don't know what it is. And I said, "Does this qualify as our first date?" And she laughed for 10 minutes, you know, just as how it's said and when, you know, and sometimes a laugh is the most important thing about this. So we're not going to make fun. We're going to have fun. We're going to be serious. We're going to disperse some information, and hopefully we will be on for the next pandemic.
Or until they sell a new gold bond powder commercial. Yeah, and then exactly. There's 30 minutes, we'll never get back. We want to thank everybody who was able to put us in this position as well to do this show. It does mean a lot to us. For me, I just need people to know that they're not alone. There's not going to be one thing that you can think of or deal with or have happened to you that hasn't happened dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of times to that many other people. So
you're here for us. We're here for you. We're the Diabetic Show.
Yeah. The website, thediabeticshow.com. Facebook. And I keep hitting on this because we're going to do a lot of Facebook with this. We'll get out. We'll talk to people. We have a whole lot of people that want to talk to you about it as well. We can talk to the evil Big Pharma folks who are not very good at returning calls, by the way. I was trying to get one just for this show. They haven't gotten back to me yet.
Well, we are the Geraldo Rivera of diabetic.
I dream.
We want to go back to being free, well, or as close as possible.
You can email us both. It's either going to be dobie@thediabeticshow.com or mark@thediabeticshow.com. Or just reach out on Facebook. We'll get your message. We'll figure out what we're doing and how to do it better. That was his way. He was waving. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to The Diabetic Show, featuring Mark Philwood and Dobie Maxwell. For more information or to stay in touch, visit thediabeticshow.com. Until next time.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Falkowski, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today we have guests from the Racine Unified School District and the mental health professionals with whom they contract for service to students and staff. We will be discussing